keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
And welcome back to it. Thursday here on the program. Listen, if you're looking for more information or a place to listen live, SteveGerber.com is there for you for that. It's all there for you. SteveGerber.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter as well and keep up with what's going on. Shoot us questions or call us on the hotline, 888-900-9966. My next guest has been here before. We bring him in to tell us how people did in debates and how things have gone. Aaron Call, who is from the University of Michigan and the director of debate there. Aaron, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so the debate, I mean, this is the way I scored the debate, that Trump won the first 30 or 40 minutes. After that, it was kind of a draw, and Hillary Clinton won the back end of it. That's kind of my thumbnail, 30,000 view return on that. What was your take?
Yeah, something very similar. I thought that he started out very strongly. The issue of free trade and the mentioning repeatedly of states like Michigan and Ohio that are going to be pivotal in the election. But he kind of faded towards the end, I thought, after starting out really strong. I thought his lack of one-on-one debate experience and lack of formal preparation for the debate kind of hurt him. And by the end, Clinton, I thought, finished strong. Some issues that came up certainly weren't of help to him, the birtherism issue, and then Clinton waited until the very end to talk about his comments towards women, and he decided not to employ the nuclear option, and ended the night.
Do you think that was the right thing, by the way? Because I think, I don't know if it was the right thing or not, the wrong thing. The fact of the matter is most millennials are not familiar with the nuclear option, that being Bill Clinton's, parade of bimbos, I think is the way it was put back in the 90s. And the fact that his wife was the cleaner. I mean, she was the one that would go in and tidy things up afterwards. And that didn't come up. Was he right or wrong to avoid that?
I think that was the right decision. Going into the debate, the largest issue he had to address was his temperament about, 60%, two-thirds of the country aren't sure he's got the right temperament to be president. And he knew that. And through the entire debate, he didn't refer to her as crooked Hillary. And not going there in the end, I know, was tough for him. And he was, really biting his tongue. But overall, for kind of what he has to do in order to win, I think that was probably the right decision.
So at the end of the day, I don't know what happened there. Do you think he's mad at us? We'll get that cleaned up. Aaron Call from the University of Michigan, debate at the University of Michigan. He thinks that the sniffling that Donald suffered from there at Hofstra was distracting, and therefore he gave the debate edge to Hillary Clinton by a little bit. Are we back?
I'm here.
Oh, there you go. We had a funny noise on the line there. Anyhow, but you thought the sniffling was distracting as well, correct?
It was. The nonverbal kind of the cutaway shots where you can see the other person not debating. We had the size with Al Gore, George H.W. Bush looking at his watch. And to me, this was, something like that, where he may have not been 100%, a little bit under the weather. I know he didn't admit that. He said that there was nothing wrong, but everybody saw that. And it's just unfortunate that at such a high-stake moment, that he wasn't, at top form, but it's very grueling on the campaign trail.
Yeah, I didn't think that it was as distracting as you did, apparently, and it didn't get the coverage, obviously, as Al Gore's size or the watch check, the time check by George H.W. But I think tell me this, because I think now you've got two more of these things. You'll have huge viewership for the other two, maybe not quite 85 million, but you'll have 60 or 70 million. And I think that Hillary Clinton has frankly, she's come out of this pretty arrogant, I think. And I think that it sets the table for him to perform better. I think she has set the bar so high for herself now that if he comes in and has a stronger performance, that it really could have an impact.
Yeah, I would agree with that. She had, higher expectations going into the first debate by about 10 points. People thought she'd prevail. And now, some of these polls afterwards, if she won by, 30 or so points, then then yeah, the expectations may be impossible for her to meet no matter what she does. So he certainly has the opportunity in the last two debates to do really well, and I would certainly never count him out. I think he's going to alter his preparation style a little bit. The unique thing with the next debate is in St. Louis is it's a town hall format, so how the candidates relate to the questioners and kind of show empathy towards them, it will be really important to who ends up winning.
Really important because, well, here's the thing. If she has performances that are considered not as good as her first one, well, that would lend just a little bit of momentum to him in a race this tight. And let's be honest, it's a toss-up all over. I mean, you've got him leading in some key swing states like Florida and Ohio and North Carolina, but there's no room for error. And for her, there are certain states like Pennsylvania, New Hampshire. That's why she was in New Hampshire yesterday. She cannot afford to lose even those four electoral votes in New Hampshire. That's how close this election is. She knows it. So does he. So I think that any chance that she has to capitalize in these last two debates will be extremely important.
Yeah, no, definitely. Those states are kind of her firewall. And, yeah, we could have a situation like 2012 where, Mitt Romney won by about a similar margins for the first debate, but then President Obama came back and won the second two debates handily. So there's really no relationship between, the first debate and the last ones. You mentioned viewership. You know, we had 84 million people watch the first one. But some years we have a dramatic decline, but I think given how close the race is and that there was no knockout punch in the first debate, we could see similar viewership numbers or even, increased interest in the last two debates. I mean, it's the best of three.
Well, here's something else that that is possible. And if Donald Trump wins New Hampshire and Hillary Clinton wins Colorado and Hillary Clinton wins Pennsylvania and Trump picks up Ohio and Florida and some other states, there's a very real scenario where they both end with 269. And talk about a divided country, because then it goes to the House of Representatives, and it's actually very plausible. There's no wild cards there. Just if the states break in a certain way, you'd be at 269, something we've never seen before. What do you think about that?
That sounds like a movie, a bad movie. And I don't know if it goes to the House, are they even bound to select Trump or Clinton as president? Yes, we could have President Paul Ryan in that scenario.
That's right, or whoever they pick. That's right. They're not bound to do anything. They're bound to pick a president. And they're not bound to take one of the two people there. That's exactly true. Aaron, there's something, a bad movie. I thought I was already in a bad movie, but so it is. Aaron, I appreciate you checking in. I'm sure we'll talk after the next debates as well. Appreciate it as always.
Sounds good. Anytime.
There you have it. Aaron Call, director of the debate at the University of Michigan. And so close, you see what's on the table here. It is 52 after, back in just a moment.